Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
Pastor Brian Bill tells this story. I remember vividly an experience I had when I was about 8 years old. My bedroom was down in the basement, which I liked because I got to be away from my sisters and have some privacy. The only thing that was tough about this was that it was really dark at night. I was normally pretty adept at finding my way around in the dark and used to enjoy the challenge of finding the bathroom in the middle of the night by just feeling my way past my dad's workbench, the furnace, and the woodpile. One night, however, I woke up and got out of bed in order to use the bathroom, but without realizing it, I had gotten out on the wrong side of the bed. Instead of finding the door, I was on the other end of my room, frantically searching for the light switch or the door. I started to panic. I couldn't figure out who moved the door on me. It must have been my sisters, I thought. The more I searched, the more upset I became. Finally, I couldn't take it anymore. I started screaming at the top of my lungs for my mom and dad. Eventually, they came running down the stairs, opened my door, and turned the light on. And I'll never forget how glad I was to see them. I was in the dark, and I knew it. I was blind. I couldn't get out on my own. I knew I needed some help, and I knew my parents could help me. I had belief. I knew I had to scream and shout in order to get some help, and I was bold. In this episode, we'll look at a man who was blind, who had belief in Christ, and who was bold. Physical blindness in the Bible pictures spiritual blindness. The deliverance from blindness by Christ and his earthly ministry was an illustration to Israel and to all that Christ is the light of the world, the only way to God, the one who delivers us from spiritual darkness and the kingdom of darkness and brings us into the light of life. Outside of Christ, we are all blind spiritually. We can't see the truth. We wander aimlessly in life. And that's why we call the unbelieving lost. And being lost and in darkness, they are in danger and they are heading for disaster. We each need to be delivered from our spiritual blindness by Christ so we can see. And so we are delivered from the disaster of the blackness of darkness forever in hell. In this portrait of grace, we will learn about a man who was delivered from his physical blindness, which pictures what Christ can do for anyone in their spiritual blindness. Mark 10:46 reads, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." Here we've come to the time for the Lord to go to Jerusalem to be the fulfillment of the Passover as the sacrificial lamb for the sins of the world and to accomplish why he had come to the world. The Lord knew it was time. A few verses earlier, from verse 46, we find the Lord telling his disciples, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again." Amazingly, knowing all of that, verse 32 says, "As they went to Jerusalem, Jesus went before them." He walked in front of them all. He went out of love for the world, and thus he walked faster and in front of them all. The Lord is now on his way to Jerusalem, and the last stop before getting there is Jericho. Along the road leading out of Jericho on the route to Jerusalem sat a blind beggar. This was a very strategic spot for a beggar. This road was a very common and popular route to ascend to Jerusalem. And if you want to be a successful beggar, you go where the people are, where the crowds are. And he knew where to sit. In the days prior to the Passover, the beggar had access to thousands of Jews walking up to the city and to the temple. Blindness is what made him a beggar. We don't know how Bartimaeus became blind, and we don't know when. In first century Palestine, blindness meant to be subject to abject poverty. The blind lived dependent on the mercy, charity, and generosity of others. Beggars spent their days sitting by the highways and byways, just waiting for someone to give them a piece of money or a piece of bread. Mark tells us that the blind man's name was Bartimaeus. Now in Scripture, Bar is a Greek prefix that means son of. Peter's name was Simon Bar Jonah, or the son of Jonah. And we find other Bar names in the Bible, including Barnabas, Bartholomew, Barabbas. In verse 46, we find that this blind man was Bartimaeus, or the son of Timaeus. Timaeus was his father's name. Now, names were given for reasons back then. The word Timaeus means unclean, polluted, corrupt, filthy. And I think you get the picture. Bartimaeus means the son of an unclean man, the son of a filthy man, the son of a corrupt man. So Bartimaeus was blind. He was poor. He was a beggar. He was the son of a filthy, corrupt man. He was dependent and had to live off the generosity of others. People walked by him every day. Most of them ignored him. A few might have thrown coins in his beggar's cup. Others didn't even see him at all. To many, Bartimaeus was a nobody. Matt Woodley writes, "When I was 17 years old, I was playing in a basketball game against our arch rival. I was assigned the task of guarding their best player, an arrogant, hot-headed, condescending point guard. Every time he came down the court, he would dribble up to me and whisper, 'You're nothing, man. You're nothing, and nothing can't guard me.' I'm happy to report that I shut him down and had a good game against him. But after continually hearing, 'You're nothing, you're nobody,' you start to believe it. Bartimaeus was beaten down by life. He was a nothing and a nobody to many, but he was not a nothing to Christ. Every single person is important to Christ. And when he saw Bartimaeus, he was moved with compassion toward him. When you think of his life, your heart goes out to Bartimaeus. And not only did he have the social stigma and the humility of being a beggar, but he also couldn't see what we see every single day. The beauty of creation around us. The things we take for granted seeing every single day.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
Rightly Divided Answers to Frequently Asked Questions is a paperback 248-page book written by Pastor Ricky Kurth. There are already so many books in print addressing frequently asked Bible questions that you might be wondering about the need for yet another. However, the Bible study principle espoused by Mid-Acts dispensationalists, that of rightly dividing the word of truth, is the key that unlocks the Bible. We believe you will find answers to troublesome questions here that you have not seen elsewhere. To order your copy, contact the Berean Bible Society for pricing and availability at 262-255-4750 or visit our website at www.BereanBibleSociety.org.
To receive our free full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262 262- 855-4750 or subscribe online at www.bereanbiblesociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Mark 10:47-48 says, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" So sitting on the road, going out of Jericho, a crowd passed Bartimaeus. This group had a certain excitement, a buzz, because they were traveling with the Messiah to Jerusalem. Bartimaeus was sitting there begging, and he could feel that energy. He was blind, but his hearing was heightened. And so he could hear the commotion of the large group. Luke 18:36 says, "And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant." Bartimaeus hears the crowd with Christ going by. He's curious. He asks, "What's happening? What's going on?" In Luke 18:37, somebody responded to him, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And as quick as he heard that, he immediately began shouting out to Christ. He knew that this was his only chance, his only hope, and that he needed to act quickly. And there's something to learn there. There's a grave danger in any delay in response to Christ. When one hears the gospel, it may be your only chance. We are not promised time on this earth. We could be in eternity at any day, at any moment. If you haven't trusted the good news that Christ died for your sins and rose again, you need to act with the same urgency as Bartimaeus and act immediately. Act now. Believe right now before it's too late. And it was a good thing that Bartimaeus sought the Lord that day, because the Savior never passed that way again. Bartimaeus' heart began to race when he heard the name Jesus of Nazareth. It seemed almost too good to be true. Bartimaeus knew that Christ was much more than just a man from a small mountain town in the north in Galilee. He had a far different and a clearer perception of who this was. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to yell out to him, and he doesn't say Jesus of Nazareth. He says, "Jesus, son of David." He cried out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me," repeatedly and loudly, yelling that at the top of his lungs. The Greek word for cry out is the Greek word krazo, which doesn't need much explanation. He went crazy, and he began yelling in a crazed fashion. One commentator explained that word as the instinctive shout of ungoverned emotion, a scream, an almost animal cry. The word well shows the utter desperation of the man. Bartimaeus wanted to make sure he was heard over the noise of the crowd, the talk of the people, and all the disturbances of motion and commotion of a group of people. The man's desperate need overwhelmed any sense of pride or any measure of restraint. With his only hope about to pass by, he made a spectacle of himself, and it didn't matter. He didn't care. He shouts Jesus, the name he was given at his birth, meaning Savior, because he would save his people from their sins, Matthew 1:21 says. Calling him son of David, Bartimaeus believed in Jesus Christ as Israel's Messiah. And by the Messiah, according to prophecy in Isaiah 35, the eyes of the blind shall be opened. This was his belief, this was his hope, and this was the reason he excitedly called out to him. Bartimaeus acknowledged that Jesus was Israel's Messiah. And there's irony in that, because the nation of Israel as a whole was blind to the presence of their Messiah in the person of Jesus Christ. And a blind man saw more than they did. And he had true spiritual sight. Bartimaeus cried out to the Lord, "Have mercy on me." Over and over again, this cry of desperation poured out of this man. He knew he wasn't deserving anything. So he cries for mercy from Christ, and he knew that he needed mercy because there was nothing he could do about his situation on his own. When Bartimaeus cried out to the Lord, the people surrounding him didn't say, "Good going, Bart, he can help you, call out louder." But instead, they rebuke him. And it shows you how he was typically treated in society. His cry elicits no sympathy from the crowd. They're annoyed by him. They wanted him to quiet down. Verse 48 says, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Many were sternly telling and forcefully telling him, be quiet, quiet down." To him, he was a nuisance and he was an outcast. You might find when you are bold enough to cry out to Christ for mercy and salvation, not everyone's going to be excited for you. Like this crowd shows, there may be people who will even rebuke and discourage you from doing so. Public opinion, though, is not what we should be following. We should be looking to Christ. If Bartimaeus had listened to public opinion, he would have remained blind. And you got to love Bartimaeus. And I love Bartimaeus because he's scrappy. He's got grit and determination. Everyone shushed him, and he ignored all of them. But their attempts to rebuke him had no effect on him whatsoever. He just cried out all the more loudly. There's only one way to understand this man. He believed everything he heard about Christ. He had heard enough to believe and know that he is Israel's Messiah, so he refused to be silenced. He needed mercy. He was going to fight for that mercy, and he knew that Christ is merciful and able. He couldn't see Christ. Those who did see him saw that he was not clothed in royal robes. He did not carry a scepter. He did not have a crown or a throne. But Bartimaeus saw who he was. His heart had seen the light before his eyes ever saw the light. His heart had seen Christ before his eyes ever saw Christ. Mark 10:49-52 reads, "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called a blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight, and followed Jesus in the way." The story turns in verse 49, and the focus is on Christ. And Jesus stood still. Think about that. That stillness is an amazing picture of the care of God. Cries for help, cries for mercy elicit a response from God Almighty, and God stops when we call out to Him in our need. Our loving Savior, He heard those loud cries for help and mercy, and He stopped, and He said, "Call Him here. Don't silence Him. Bring Him to Me." In Luke 18:40, it says, "Christ commanded Him to be brought unto Him," and I like to think that He commanded the ones telling Bartimaeus to be quiet to bring Bartimaeus to Him. But He commanded it. The people jumped. They went over and called Bartimaeus and said, "Take heart, cheer up, stand up. He's calling for you." Now all of a sudden their tune has changed. Christ's response to the man changes their attitude. At first, the crowd tried to keep him quiet. But when Christ stopped and called for him, the crowd changed and encouraged and spoke kindly to him. Bartimaeus' response, though, was to throw off his outer garment so it would not trip him up, so he could get to Christ as fast as he could as he was guided to him. When he came to the Lord, verse 51 says, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And that is amazing. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God in flesh, becomes a servant of a blind beggar here. And the Lord had just told his disciples, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." And they saw that in action right here. They say beggars can't be choosers, but Christ gave Bartimaeus a choice here. Christ asked the man the question to give the man the opportunity to express himself and give evidence of his own faith, as his response would reveal his heart and show what he really believed Christ could do for him. He responded to the Lord by addressing Christ as Lord, fully believing in the power of Christ as Lord to do what only God can do. He knew who Christ was, and he also knew what Christ could do for him. Do you know who Christ is? Do you know what he can do for you? He is the God-man, the only way to God, the one mediator between God and man. And if you trust him as your personal Savior, he will save you completely from all of your sins. Knowing who Christ is, Bartimaeus then asked the Lord to meet his most pressing need. With confidence, with clarity, he just said, "Lord, I want to see." A simple, short, and specific prayer. Often, simple, short, specific prayers are all that are needed. There's no magic formula with prayer. God just wants to hear your heart. The heart of Bartimaeus is seen here, and the heart of the Savior is also seen. "What can I do for you?" asked the Savior. And then you see the compassion, love, kindness, and mercy of God as the King of Kings does what a beggar asks him to do. Matthew 20:34 tells us that Christ was moved with compassion, reached over, and touched Bartimaeus' eyes. Luke 18:42 adds that Christ said, "Receive thy sight." And immediately his eyes were opened and healed, and he could see perfectly. And the wonder of light, brightness, colors, shapes, scenes all suddenly burst upon him. But think about this. When this man's eyes were opened, the first thing he saw was the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, the merciful God. One day, our eyes, we will see Christ, the merciful God, face to face in his presence in heaven. And it'll be because of the mercy of God. Christ commended the man's faith, to which he attributed the man's healing. "Thy faith hath made thee whole," he said. But there's a double meaning here. Whole is the Greek word which speaks of being saved. Christ said that his faith had saved him. This encompasses not only the physical healing, but also the salvation from his sins. Bartimaeus had received mercy in being able to see physically, and he received mercy in the spiritual sight of his salvation. And it was his faith in Christ as Israel's Messiah and God's Son that saved his soul. Those were the terms of salvation under the gospel of the kingdom. Today, under the terms of the gospel of the grace of God, we trust that Christ died for our sins and rose again. Christ told him he could go his way after seeing. It's interesting he says that. Go thy way. But instead of going his way, he went Christ's way. And he followed him. Now he could see spiritually, and his heart had been touched because of Christ's love and care. And he knew, that's the way that I need to go in life. Our Savior here was on the way to the cross. He was being obedient to death, even the death of the cross, and yet he stopped to serve a blind beggar along the way. Bartimaeus went from blindness to sight, from darkness to light, from sitting and begging to walking and following Christ. This miracle demonstrates that as Christ can give sight to those who are physically blind, he can give spiritual sight and deliver those who are in spiritual darkness into the light of salvation. You are Bartimaeus. I am Bartimaeus. Like Bartimaeus, we are all spiritually blind and spiritually bankrupt beggars. Bartimaeus means son of an unclean, filthy, corrupt man. And we are all sons and daughters of a spiritually corrupt, unclean father. We are spiritually unclean children of spiritually unclean parents all the way back to Adam. But along the road in our lives, in our spiritual blindness, when Christ passes by, we hear his saving gospel in our desperation. We need to cry out to him for mercy. Bartimaeus cried out for mercy for Christ to save him. We need the mercy of God to save us from our sins. Ephesians 2:4 says something so beautiful, though. But God, who is rich in mercy. When we trust that Christ died for our sins and rose again, Titus 3:5 tells us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Like he asked Bartimaeus, Christ asks each of us, what do you want me to do for you? And in trusting him as our Savior, asking him to meet our greatest need, we say to him, I want to see. Believing that he is able to deliver us from our sins and from darkness. As Christ was moved with compassion toward Bartimaeus, he will be toward us as well, and he will tell us and anyone who asks him for spiritual sight, he will say, receive your sight. And immediately we will see. Immediately we're delivered from darkness into the light of salvation, and we are whole, spiritually whole. All of this is possible because Christ continued down that road out of Jericho and went all the way up to Jerusalem, all the way to the cross, all the way out the other side of that empty tomb. The kindness and mercy of the Savior touched the heart of Bartimaeus, and he followed the Savior. And likewise, our salvation from our sins in Christ should likewise so touch our hearts that it should transform our lives and lead us to follow the Lord out of gratitude for his infinite kindness and infinite mercy toward us.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.